you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Peter, and I'm going to be sharing out of this book, but I'm going to go through some other areas too. 2 Peter, and starting in the beginning, chapter 1, obviously hermeneutics and all these fancy words that they use in graduate schools and colleges and things, they mean a lot, but you got to understand what you're doing if you want to understand it. I just say go through there and read slowly. Pick out the words that point out to you, and there's words that jump off the page to you. They're the ones you want to go back and study again. Pick out the verses. Don't try to cover so many chapters, but just get a few verses. And I want to start with a passage that's very familiar to most of us, but it's found quickly. I'm just going to read it here. In 2 Peter, did I say first or second? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is a small verse, but it has so much. Two words. I'm going to specialize in this passage right here, this little passage. There's two words I want you to get today. Look at them closely. Kind of get them connected. They're beautiful words. They're full of blessings. And the moment that you learn to release them, you'll use them over and over again. But most people have it in their heart. They don't know how to release it. They can't say what they want to say. They're kind of, I'd say that, but I'm not sure I understand it. Understand what it says and let it apply to your life. Now, I'm going to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Though the knowledge of him that hath called us, now get ready, to glory and to virtue. Now I want you to mark those two words in your Bible. Glory and virtue. This is totally misunderstood by so many people. They use the word over and over. And they just called us to glory, called us to virtue. There's a total lack of comprehension, the depth of these two words. It's almost a misunderstanding. Glory. These are things that we need to apply to our life, take place in our life. And the baptism of the Spirit of God. See, I try to pick out the words that are verbs, words that show action or a state of being. Didn't think I knew that, did you? Some of the big fancy pronouns, they're so big and you say it, nobody knows what you mean. But a verb is a word that shows action. We've got to understand ourselves that we're action. As long as you're alive, you're an action person. Call out upon the Lord and ask for guidance and prayer. Glory and virtue. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Get this. Ask, and it shall be given. There's a verb word, ask, ask. You know, remember when the little kids were smaller, they would come up and ask their mother for a cookie, ask them for this or ask them for that, candy. They weren't ashamed. They didn't hold back. They asked for it. You've got to ask God if you want something. He wants to give it to you. Ask, and it shall be given what? You. Here's a key word again. Seek, another verb word. Seek, and you shall find. Are you seeking? Are you looking? Hide and go seek. It's fun for a couple of minutes, but after that you say, come on in. I'm tired. I'm not going to play no more. You got to seek the things of God. That means prayer, intercession, learning, knowledge, learning the Bible, reading it with continuity. It's not how many verses, how many chapters. What did you comprehend from it? What did you retain from it? Take these little words and apply them. Glory, virtue. If you're walking in glory and you got virtue, you're going to hear from God. Then he says, "You ask, and it shall be given. To who? To you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." You know, when you go to somebody's house, I have a special code I use all the time, and they know who it is. I have a nephew that's impaired in his body, but when he hears that knock, he'll say, "Uncle Earl." He knows it. He knows that knock. Do you understand? God's got to know when you come up there, it's me, Lord, and you got your, I'm praising you, I'm worshiping you. I'm not just hollering up in vain because it's an emergency. If there's anybody up there, hope you hear me. No, you go, I come to the garden alone. Why the dew is still on the roses. Oh, I love that song. Church, you got to learn how to open up the door. My friend of mine, I told you, went out in his garage, got in the car. Boy, he'd have a camp meeting right there in the car. It didn't make any difference. That didn't bother nobody, but when he came back, man, he was strong. Matthew 7, now get this, and this is very important. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that hath asked, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, if I don't say nothing else the rest of the day, that's enough for you to chew on for a whole week. You see the principle involved there? These are all action words. We're all called to be missionaries right here, home missionaries, your family, your extended families. Oh, I could never go to India and be in the depths of the interiors of Africa, but you could cross the street to your neighbor. Your family could be a mission field. Do you understand? It's not how, if you can't go, send somebody, help somebody else go. That's how you do these things. Lord said, if you're really serious about it, help that missionary. I remember one time I gave my last dollar to a missionary going down into Central America. I was in Chaplin College, and coffee, you get coffee and donut for about a dollar in those days. You know how long ago that was? And I always kept $1, you know, I always kept $1 for my after chapel. I'd go to, over to the cafeteria and get a cup of coffee and a donut. Routine, regular. That was what I did that was my lunch, almost every day. But I had this dollar, and I had saved for my coffee and my donut. That guy put out a plea for these children in Central America somewhere, I forget, South America somewhere, and he said, if they don't get clothes for the winter, if they don't get shoes before it gets cold, if they don't, and they all need stocks, and they, I mean, he named everything, underwear, he named it all. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to get my last dollar. I'm going to give my coffee money away. And they made you come up, walk up and give it in those days. Remember we used to walk up and give your offerings? They didn't know whether it was 100 or 1, but I gave it all. That don't sound like much. You know how to decide on that? Am I going to give my money away to this guy? I don't even know this guy, but he tells me he's going to do this. But I got over there, gave that money away. Dollar. That doesn't mean money. But when you're a student, that's your last dollar. Bye-bye. You're sending it down to South America somewhere, in Central America. Oh, how I got paid back over and over and that many, many times. I guess I've paid at least a dozen trips into Central and South America over my ministry. Hundreds have been won to the Lord. But that seed that was sown. I just, three little things. These are little words. Glory. The glory of God can be manifested around you. You can be in a cloud of glory. The virtue. Virtue is perfected. The virtue, it's absolutely, it's like it's almost the virgin. Flawless. Without damage, without apparel. It stands by itself. When you're a child of God, you have the ability to be separate and different. We are a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things. All things become new. You got to give yourself a credit. You're a new person. I'm not who I was. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm headed that way. We're always striving for a level of relationship with Father God and the Holy Spirit and the precious Jesus. Talk to him, walk with him. If you can, just imagine, Lord, we're going to spend the afternoon together. Anything I can get for you. Sometimes just get some chocolates and say, we'll share a box of chocolates. You eat the whole box. Let's go up and get an ice cream cone, Lord. Don't you think he would like one? Nice chocolate one with him. I can taste it already. He likes to fellowship with us. He wants us alone where we can concentrate and focus on us, not being interrupted with the cares of life. Ask. Do you know if you don't ask, you don't get it? That phone can be ringing, but if you don't answer it, you're not going to know who's on the other end. Oh, I know, sir, I've been expecting that call. I'm not going to take it. Well, let me tell you something. God may be ringing your number one of these days. He may be knocking at your door one of these days. He says, I'm knocking on the door. I can't come in. Nobody will answer the door. Knocks on our heart's door. Speaks to us by revelation. Glory and virtue. Now, let me mention this. Concerning spiritual gifts, I don't know anybody that doesn't like a gift of some kind. Sometimes we tease somebody and say, I got a gift for you. You know, I don't have it now, but I'll get it to you next time I see him. I'll have it. You know what they do the whole time? They wait. I wonder what it is. I wonder what he got for me. I wonder what that is. I mean, I like gifts. God says, I got a bunch of them for you. Understanding the controlling of how God operates, he wants to enter into them. I call it the rest of faith, R-E-S-T. Most people don't get much rest. But when you get into the Word and you're relaxed. Now, I sometimes like to, anybody like peanuts here? Oh, my grandfather used to raise them. We raised them on the farm. And I get some peanuts and start reading my Bible and turn the light on. And I may be there at the midnight eating a few peanuts and maybe something to drink and little peanuts and reading. I'm just reading chapter after chapter here. He's knocking. He wants to come in and dine with you. He wants to sup with you. He wants to fellowship. He wants to create and explain where are you at, where you're going, how can you get there. I'm going to tell you, this word's so strong. It settles in our hearts and it clicks with our brain. When we begin to believe God, do you know this? That he says all things are possible. I think that's in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 12, verse 1. The spiritual gifts have really, really had a number done to them. Let's turn over there real quick to 1 Corinthians. See, 12. See, it's not how much you cover, it's how good you cover it. When you read something, it's not how I read four chapters. What I want you to do is learn how to digest what you do eat, what you digest, what you take in. Chapter 12. Now, this is a critical chapter because it deals with some of Paul's writings when he talks about certain things in our life. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you what? Everybody say that word. Everybody say it. Ignorant. Ignorant. I mean, all through school and college, you go, the teacher's never that bold to say, I don't want you being ignorant. So I want to teach you this so you learn how to use it. And this is, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things, Paul's saying. And you know who is ignorant about it? It's the body of Christ, the church. Half of them don't even believe it or more. When you get into ignorance, you've gone to seed. I'm going to tell you, it's over. You're capable of anything. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols. Boy, that's good. Paul was really a cool guy. I can't wait to meet him. Worshiping dumb idols. I've traveled enough and I've seen things I can't believe. One thing that gets me in India, particularly India, is the cyclop, the one eye. It's called Calais. And they worship the Calais eye. It's just one eye and they put it on a stone and it's colorful, it's painted. And they go up and they put their last penny. A rupee is 1/10 of one penny. In America, it would be 1/10 of a penny. They'll take the handful and just lay them there on that stone. Oh, they'll get down, they'll cry, and they'll just boo-hoo, boo-hoo over, and they start getting panicky about carrying away with it. And it's done all over the country like that. How are they so deceived? They have nothing to eat. They're poor, they're in rags, they're sick, they're bound, and all kind of hoodoo, voodoo. And they keep worshiping an eye that doesn't move. Oh, it's beautiful. They've got it all with beautiful eyelashes on it. It's all painted up with makeup and things. When you go, you see the Calais, 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 Calais. They're worshiping this thing, and it never moves. And they're everywhere. They've got them by the thousands all over the place. People can go and worship her. Here we have the glorious gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. Here we have the good news. Here we have the joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. We have opportunity in America particularly. We have every opportunity. We're going to stand before God. It's the old man without excuse. 24-hour television proclaiming the name of Jesus. Everything is books and written, and we've had glorious. I mean, people get saved in all kinds of churches. It's not just one kind. Methodist, Baptist, and this one and that one. They get saved. Nazarene, where people are getting saved. These hotshot preachers, all they want to do is criticize somebody else. They better be careful. You better make sure your house is in order and your heart's clean, because you go around claiming everything else. And, well, I'm this, brother. I got the gifts. You don't know how much they've been abused over the years. You give too much candy in a box to a child, and they'll make themselves sick over it. They'll eat it all. They know no return. In our lives, there's a fullness of the glory of God. There's something about the Word of God that's powerful. The inward man. See, the inward man is what receives the Holy Spirit. It's not your natural man. It's not your natural brain. It's not like going to a physics class and learning how to multiply and do this or that. Go to chemistry and put something together. But one of the elements here, one of the elements there. No, it's a spiritual gift from God. These are real. The inward man receives the Holy Spirit. Becomes joy, instantly joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're blessed. It's blessings coming on you. It's almost indescribable, the joy of the Holy Spirit. If one that has not received it, and you're telling them what you received, they're like, man, you that's too heavy, man. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know about that, babe. That's way out. Talk crazy about it. You ever see anybody on a roller coaster? Oh, man, they're just so thrilled. They're so excited about when they get all this. I want to ride it again. Go back and get in line, ride it again. They're screaming with joy. Oh, I'm so excited. But you ain't seen anything. Do you see somebody get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and power by the gifts of God and the power of God and see them in the spirit realm? Oh, it's something to behold. We're in a camp meeting down in the Tampa Bay area. I wasn't preaching, but I was in the second row of the program. Power of God come in the back of that. It was outdoor tabernacle. You ever know when we used to have those years ago, outdoor tabernacles where they rolled the curtains up on the side and it was all out. The power of God come in the back and begin to knock people out of their chairs, out of their seats on the floor. You could hear it, but man, you wasn't looking back. You say, what's going on back here? No, you was, Lord, bring it on down, bring it on down. It come on down to the front of the church, the chapel, outside chapel. It's a camp meeting, summer camp meeting. People are falling out in the spirit. They're being slain. They were just praying in the spirit, lifting up their hearts and singing and praising God. And it hit there, and then it got up on the platform where the speakers were. Now, these were the so-called camp meeting speakers, you know, the big guys. When it hit them, they begin to shout and run and dance, jump up and down. And I mean, it was a time to behold. If somebody come in there and said, put them all in jail, lock them up, they're all gone nuts. But it was the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It went past 9 o'clock. It went up to 9:30. It was 10 o'clock. And you know, there's a time limit on everything. Not that night. Oh, it was a night to be never forget it. You could feel it. The hair on my neck, I could feel it curling up. It's getting close. I could feel it. But again, I began to feel it on the inside. Not on the outside first, but on the inside. And it lingered. Oh, I'll tell you, we're carrying people to the cars. Carrying people to their cars because they couldn't. They were so drunk in the spirit. This is the most powerful thing we have working in the church, and they're loaded with gifts. And you know, many, many denominations, I'm talking about major, big, major denominations, reject it, say, no part of it. Just like Southern Baptists. I'll just say Southern Baptists, for example. One of the largest groups of people in the country. No part of that. Now, there's little splinter groups here and there go off and have a little church, has one somewhere, but that's not part of their doctrine, their creed. And you can name all the big ones. Episcopalians, and there's been outpourings in them, but their doctrine is not, we don't believe it. It's in the Bible. The Holy Spirit moves in so much power. Peter said this one in his portion over in the, it's in 1 Peter. We've not followed cunning device fables. Be made known unto you that the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses to his majesty, for he received them from Father God, honor and glory. They come, such a voice to him from the excellent glory of God. Can you imagine how the Spirit of God falls upon people? And you have to be in these services, folks. It's better felt than told. We're so far from what we had in our churches years ago. People get slain in the Spirit and would stay there for hours. Sometimes they wrap the kids up and take them out to the car, take them home, still in the Spirit. People come down, stay around the altar. And I mean, it was not uncommon to see people have pillows like that down on the front and just, and they would go to sleep there. You have to wake them up and say, look, we're going to close up the shop tonight. We're closing up. Out in the spirit. People walk them to their car. You better let me drive you home. Church, we are got to get back to basics, and he's coming soon. Let's look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. He says, we've not followed after cunning devices. Like Calais. We were down in Central America. I forget what country now. It was one of the middle-sized countries there. And Julie was with me. And they had a parade going through town. And it was a glass casket. And maybe 10 or 15 men were carrying it. It was maybe 100, 200 people following it. And they had a Jesus in there. And the people were just falling down the street. And they were worshiping. They were just worshiping. Come to find out, it was a Catholic holiday. And they had this parade where they were taking this body that looked like it was a image of some kind in there that was all painted up. Had a crown of thorns on it. People were throwing themselves down on the ground. They were just, I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that when something is so spectacular that changed, it stopped everything. You can get off into ideas that look good, but they aren't good. You can be deceived. The devil's a robber and a thief. He's a deceiver. You got to make sure you're not following after something. They have a black Christ, too. It comes on another parade. They had that. Most of it comes out of the Catholic Church. No, I'm not here to criticize anybody. I'm just saying, if you got the anointing of God on you, you're going to be, it's better felt than told. You got to understand, God has a plan. It's for now. We ought to know that God's working with us and for us. Some people tell me some of the years, well, I don't know why the Holy Spirit comes in here, because all it does is express themselves. That's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to take it in. It says be filled, running over. Like hearing the Lord knock on the door. Well, I didn't hear anybody knocking on. He's knocking on your door every day. He's trying to get in. If you can't comprehend the two or three little verbs and adjectives and nouns in the Bible, you're going to miss the whole thing. Well, I'm not very good at English. Hey, if somebody's calling you, you should know your name. He seeks to have fellowship, relationship. I love some of the old songs we used to have in the hymn books. I come to the garden while the dew is still on the roses. He walks with me and talks with me. Oh, I can't sleep. I just seem like I can't sleep. But you keep the television going 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning trying to watch that, and you're doing this, you're falling all over the place and trying to sleep in bed, and you no. How much more bad news do you need to hear? Can I hear an amen? Holy Spirit's got a perfect plan for your life. He comes to you with every need that you have and how to unwind the tanglements we get into. He understands. He has the mind of the Lord. One of the expressions I like is found in Psalm 16, verse 9. Just I want you to mark this in your Bible because it's so important. Psalm 16, verse 9. This is an expression about the glory. I don't hear any pages. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, now when you hear that word, therefore, what's it there for? See, that's how you got to stop and read the Bible. Don't read it like, oh, I read that paragraph. What did you get? I don't know. I didn't quite understand it. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. Something has made this rejoicing bring forth glory. His heart was glad. Turn to Psalm 108, verse 1. Church, this is going somewhere. Follow me. Who has that real quick? I want you to read it out. I have it here. Oh God, real loud.
Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory.
Got to read that again. Read that again.
Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory.
Oh God, my heart is fixed, it says here. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Sometimes the music director and people, they got to drag it out of you. It's like, these fish are dead. Why don't we have more joy? It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why isn't there more shouting in the church? Why isn't there more praise in the church? Sit there like we're mummified. Oh, I want to be respectful. Give a shout out. You go to a basketball game, a football game. Go to a baseball game, let somebody hit a home run. See what happens. They go crazy. Let somebody get a large pass and get a touchdown. They go crazy. Guy shoots the basketball halfway down the court and it goes in. They go crazy. Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shut up. Give him praise. Everything has breath to be praising the Lord. Did anybody notice how nice the yard looks today? When you go out, take a look at all the property around the church. Our men have been trimming. Walter's been cutting and working. And I'm going to tell you, it looks pristine. It looks like a golf course. That's how I see it. One that would belong to where the golfers, would pro golfers would come and play. They could be, oh, it's so beautiful. God's house. Shout it out. When people come by here, I want them to see there's something going on there. That's, look how nice that place is. People have complimented us over the years how nice our place looks when they go by. The fella in Salem had the furniture store there for so many years. Mr. Hitcher, anybody know him? Hitch. He said, preacher, how do you keep that place looking so good? He said, I got a small lot. He said, my yard is not more than 50 feet across and 100 feet deep. He said, I can't. He said, how do you keep that? I said, only God knows. David once could teach a lot of how to follow the Lord. David had a relationship with God that was, he danced before the Lord. He was kind of radical. One time he was dancing, his clothes half off of, his wife says, get inside, you're naked, get inside, come in the house. And he didn't care about it, he was just praising God. He'd start making music, he'd magnify the Lord. David spoke something concerning this. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand, that I should not forgive or move. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Was he happy or not? He was a happy man. David could make joyful noise with the sheep. He starts singing songs out there. He starts playing his instruments. I mean, he got that thing working, man. He was like, it was electrified almost. And they said, the king said, get that boy in front of me. I want to hear him. He makes me just rejoice. He makes me feel so good. And David would sing a little bit, take his little harp and play, you know. And man, first thing you know, king embraced him and pulled him up into the throne. He got a bigger job. First thing you know, he's in the house. We're geared so much to sound today, people will turn on the television, leave it on all night. When they go to bed, they just leave it on. They have to have something saying something, but it's not saying the right things. All the bad news. We need the good news. For God so loved that he gave. We need his power. He had some verbal expressions that were so great. He would say, out of the abundance out of the abundance. Oh, glory God, now he's talking about abundance. He said things like, before my face, he is my right hand. I should not be moved, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. I'm going to tell you, we need to let go. In your private life, if you're just give a shout out. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Magnify the Lord. Lift him up. A fellow was leaving the house the other day, was down to visit him, and I said, before you leave, can I pray over your car and your vehicle, and you'll have a safe trip home? He says, yeah. He was so dazed, he looked at me, yeah. Like he probably thought something bad was going to happen to him, you know. But that's not why you do that. You prevent that from happening. No harm will come nigh my dwelling. I'll be safe. I'll be secure. And I'll be arrive at my destination without any problems. He said, you do that often? Every time I get in the car, if I'm going to get on an airplane. Sometimes I've said, we're going to have a prayer here before we go off, take off, folks. Do you mind? And they'll start clapping, especially overseas. Americans, not so much. Do you know what's blessed me? I've got upgraded the first class in the sleepers. I got put in somewhere overnight from Australia. Come on, the air stewards come in. Here's a nice bed. Sleep here tonight. God always makes a place for me. I was in Jerusalem one time, and I left there going to up north to the Galilee, and I was on a little bus, a local bus that travels from place to place. I like to get where the people are. And I rode this local bus up to a little town that was called Bethany. Of course, everybody knows the name of that town. And as I run through, I was looking around different places. And I saw these people that were there. They were eating, and it looked like eating outside of a restaurant. So, well, I better get something to eat before it gets dark. You know? So I went stopped. I got off. I went in there. I told the guy, and they said, I sat down, and they started clapping. And I said, why are they clapping? He said, you're the first American that's been here today. So I said, well, that's interesting. And I said, tell him I want to have a prayer with him. He said it in Aramaic or whatever it was. I don't know, Hebrew or something. I don't know the language. And they all went like this. I mean, they dropped down with their hand just like this. So, man, I belted out. I gave him a full plate load. Get through clapping. They'd throw you out of a restaurant if you did that in America. Get out. We don't want that. We don't need that. Everywhere you go, you need to have the anointing with you, a covering, God going before you with the Holy Spirit working for you and through you. David was so powerful with his voice. We should let the Holy Ghost work in our lives continually. You don't know what God's got planned for you if you just let him have his way. I was in Machu Picchu, Peru, coming back in on a train. This train began to slow down, and you could hear the brakes in the air and the air brakes and all turning on. And the fellow that was the, I guess you'd call him, he was like a usher or something on the train, Pullman, he said, we're being robbed, and they're coming this way. So there are guys coming down through the train, and they had these bags. They were taking everything off people, wallets. They didn't look at them. They just took the whole wallet. They took your watch. They took this. They took that. And you know, when they got to our car, they jumped off and ran in the woods. They were like several feet from coming into the car I was in. Now, you don't try to hide something on me, because these guys can read like your mind almost. And I thought, passport, if I lose that, if I lose my watch, my wallet, all these things are going through my mind. I said, Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus. He's not entered this car, they'll not come in this car, not coming. And they're in between the two cars, they jumped off both sides. Do you know what, when you got, you know, they have a favorite saying in Jerusalem, from the Wailing Wall, a phone call to heaven costs 5 cents. I don't care who you are. Thank you, Lord, you're on your way. You're praising him, you're thanking him. They pray there sometimes all day and half the night. Hundreds and thousands of people come and pray, stand. They write prayer requests and put them in the walls, cracks. And we put them in there. Ted, you remember we did all that? And they'll pray. And then they got, if it weather looks like it's going to rain, they got an inside area that they go and pray and read the Bible. The scholars stay in there all day long praying and reading. Some of the rabbis stay there all day, and they bring them food. They're straight into the Word all day. If we read one chapter, oh, God, my eyes are going, I'm going crazy. Or you go to sleep. These are powerful days we're living in. We need to be about our Father's business. Acts 2:42. It's so important, and I mean really important, for us believers, church folks, that are filled with the Holy Ghost, to continue, and this was the word, this is my pick-out word here. This is the word I want you to get. Steadfastly, 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 and the same things, and these things. Oh, glory to God. Do you know when you're steadfast, you're not pulled off to this and that? Sometimes mothers have a hard time for concentration. This kid wants this, this kid wants that. One starts crying, the other one has to get in the bath. You got to shower this, you couldn't find the clothes for this one. You got to get a diaper over here. I understand all that. But you need some private time. If you got to go out in the garage and sit in the car, we all don't have these rolling rocks in the Colorado mountains around us. Stand out there and praise God. But you create your own environment. Create the place where you and God can hook up. You know, sometimes people go to a stove and they'll say, give me heat. The stove could talk and say, give me wood. You got to put the wood in before you get the heat. You got to come to God and surrender the time to prayer and reading those scriptures and run across the passage. Don't worry about trying to read 14 pages and 11 chapters. No. If you get one paragraph and it gets in your spirit, you got it forever. I've read the Bible through. I try to make it an annual event. But I'll tell you one thing. It's a lot easier for me now than it was 40 years ago. I struggle with that every day, trying to get 4 or 5 chapters. I mean, I just can't. I can't even retain this. I get so mixed up. I don't even know where I'm at. So I dropped off of it for a while. I asked my preacher, you read the Bible? Oh, yeah. But you know, they lie. Oh, yeah, David speaking concerning himself. Yeah, I read the Bible today. That's not what I'm talking about. Hermeneutically, where you understand what you're reading, comprehend it. You got to go back over it, back over it, back over it, back over it, back over it. I have over 5,000 books in my library. Sometimes my wife gets disgusted. Put these books away. Will you please put them away? They're my tools. They're my tools. Julia, tell you, they're everywhere. And then sometimes they're a nuisance because I stack them up or I trip. Then I can't find the one I want. No, I haven't seen it. You ever lose a book? Oh, I know it's around here. Somebody's got it. Somebody's taking my No, nobody's taking it. You piled it up in a pile. It's on the bottom. It's impossible, folks, to overestimate the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. I come out of a Southern Baptist background. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, my pastor told my mom and dad, my family, that I needed psychiatric help. I may have to be put into a clinic where I would be restored back to a normal position, speaking in tongues. I was psycho. My pastor didn't last too long. He left. Not because of me, but I guess he'd been around anything anybody getting the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Nobody in my family speaks in tongues that I know of, but if I pray for them, I pray in tongues. Baptists, man, they shriek. They feel like you're throwing something on them. I mean, don't be ashamed of this gospel. I'm convinced if you study the book of Acts, and I'm talking about going all the way up through it now, don't just read the first chapter and stop there, but when you go through it, mark it, underline it. The word steadfastly is continued and over and over and over and over and over. You know you have to develop this in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. It's walking all over new again. It's talking a new language. It's learning how to interpret what's being said. It's learning all the gifts that God has put on us. And it's like at Christmas time, everybody's got to try everything on they get for Christmas. And these shoes, this, that, try everything on right there. They're not going to wear it all. I just want to try it on. That's what Christians do. They try it on and lay it down and forget where it was at. But you got to develop it, being steadfast, steadfast, steadfast. The Lord's coming. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord's coming. Let's be ready. How many times have you went on a picnic or an outing and you forget the favorite knife that you need or the can opener? You forgot this and somebody's got to run to the store and get something. I didn't bring the napkins. Would you go to the store? Well, that's 10 miles up the road and then back and for napkins. And yet we forget all things about God. The world we're living in is going fast. It goes down faster than it goes up. Be strong in the Word. I love American history and world history, but American history particularly. 1620, on our honeymoon, I took Betty up through New England on a honeymoon. We traveled through West Point and all those places up like that. And I said, we're going over to West. It was all historical places. And we went to Concord and all those places. She says, yeah. She never got out of the car. I mean, this is our honeymoon, and we're seeing historical sites, okay? So I said, Plymouth Rock, there it is. Step on that rock. Step on a rock. She said, I'm not stepping on a rock. I said, step on it. I went over and stood on it. I'm standing on 1620, the rock they stepped off the ship on. I read this. I'll go over it and over it and over it and over it. I want to get this. I want this. I want this. I got to have it. I've actually taken notes and I fold up, put them in my wallet and carry them with me. Instead of carrying the whole book, I just take what I want to read on a trip. And I said, if I get this down the way I want it, I've got it. They wanted me to send my wallet through the you know, the little box you throw all your stuff in. I said, I don't give my wallet up. I said, I've got documents in there I can't give up. He said, well, you have to. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I get my manager, whatever you call the guy, next, like an officer, and he comes and says, you got to put your wallet. I said, I'm not going to put my wallet in there and stand and watch someone else run through it. I said, if you want to look at it right here, what's in my hand, I'll do it. I said, but I'm not sending it through. He said, let him go. I had my notes in there. I wasn't worried about the money. I was worried about those notes because they're far more valuable, the Holy Word of God. So you have to come to a place in your life that you change this over. You exchange this for this, and I'm not going back to that. This is the way I'm going, and I'm not coming off of it. Steadfast. Anybody ever heard the word steadfast? Give me an interpretation of that. Steadfast. Planted firmly. I love that. I'm going to write that down. Planted firmly. Look at the effort you folks took to be out here today. That'd be too easy. Well, I'm watching it on television. I'm watching famous preachers at mega churches, and I'm getting really good sermons. Well, hope it works for you. God's got a plan, and you're included in it. See, I made a covenant with God that I would obey his plan for my life. And that's one thing I don't want to do is break covenant above everything else. Let's look at Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. Somebody read that for me real loud. We didn't hear that, did we? Who else has it? Shout it out. Was the word steadfast there?
Yes.
Was it there?
Yes.
No. Steadfast? Oh, we better look that word up. Steadfast, you're not going to be moved. You're the rock. You're planted. You're unmovable. You're unshakable. You're not backing up. You're not giving in. You're not surrendering. Oh, boy, I will tell you. I used to take Betty to Civil War battlefields when we were traveling. The most boring thing she said I've ever been through in my life. I would explain how the North was coming this way, the South was coming this way, they met here. Whether it's Gettysburg or Vicksburg or anywhere we would get, there was a battlefield, I'm going out of my way to get there. Down through the Skyland Drive, through Virginia. There's just so many of them, you can't stop them all. And I said, now, this is how it was. I don't care how it was. She said, I said, get up on the top and we can look over the valleys. And I'll show you the lay of the land, how they fought down and then had trouble coming up the hills. I don't care about that. But you know, God's concerned over every battle we get into. Strategy from the Holy Spirit cause you to survive, be steadfast, be faithful, be not wanting, but be on the top. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're not going under. You're going over. You're going to the other side. But it takes steadfastness. We're not giving up. We're not going in. We're not going down. Corona. It'll pass. It'll pass. God's got better than that for us. We need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. It's important that we continue steadfastly. That's an old English word. We don't use it much anymore. But you know what it means. Be anchored. Ted, give us a good definition for that. Be grounded. Once you're grounded in the things of God, you can take a storm head on and overcome it. But if you're not grounded, you're going to be swept away. And I'm not going down like the Titanic. Get on the, start singing, oh, my, closer my God to thee. No, that's not the way the Christian church rolls. We are the overcomers. We got giants on our side, and they come in little packages, little slingshots named David. Do you realize we can overcome anything? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You belong to me, and I'll stay with you until the end. He said, many are called, some are chosen, and yet some are frozen. I mean, not frozen, chosen. You didn't get it. I don't want to take a lot of extra time today, but I want us to know, dig in. Dig in your spiritual knowledge. When I come out of the Marine Corps, there were no jobs hardly available, and I applied for a job with Bell Telephone and got it. Worked for Bell Telephone. And at that time, it got paid about $1 an hour. That was the wages, I think, somewhere around $1 an hour. And the first thing they said, we're going to send you to climbing school. For what? You're going to climb these poles. That's not the job I'm looking for. Everybody's got to be a climber if you're going to work for Bell Telephone. Even an installer got to go to climbing school. And then you got to circle circle around the poles and circle around back, work your way down, back like this, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I don't like this. They said, well, we have a shortage of linemen. We're going to put you in a line gang. Every fifth pole is yours. Five-man gang, every fifth pole is yours. I said to the guy, I said, what does this mean? He says, that means you get the worst pole. We're going to make sure we don't get the one that's leaning, the one that's this way or that way. You're going to get the worst one. You're the new guy. And if you don't have your spikes in the hooks in the proper way they're supposed to be, they're gaffs, you're going to fall off that pole. Halfway up or maybe all the way up. Work your way around to the left. If something on the left, you gotta work your way around to it. You don't just reach around there, you gotta work your way around to it. And you're leaning all back. All your strength is leaning back on your 2 feet and you're saying, oh. Yeah. Sometimes you go up an electric pole. Bell Telephone had things on the lower part and the electric was up top. And they'll say, whatever you do, don't touch any of those wires. And it seemed like there's not enough room between me and those wires. I didn't like it. What do you think happened? Anybody got any ideas what happened? I didn't like it. I quit. I knew Flip Stewart when he was his dollar. He said, why didn't you come work with me? I said, they wouldn't let me. I had to fill this line gang. And he laughed. He said, and I knew him then. And he said, you guys are all about the same. He said, you got to get over all this stuff, you know. Well, I want my feet on the ground because I can be steadfast. Occasionally, somebody would hit a wire. Occasionally, somebody would fall. Occasionally, something would happen. Where's he at? Oh, he's in the hospital. I thought, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. For $50 a week, I'm not doing it. God had a better plan for me. I want you to pick out single words in your Bible. When you read a passage, if you read a whole length, maybe a whole chapter, pick out the word they use over and over again. I have my Bible marked up with, it shall come to pass. It came to pass. Every time I see that, thank you, Jesus. His promises are going to come to pass. And it's not 10 of them. It's not 12 of them. I'm going to ask my secretary, how many times did we run that through there? 100 and what? She's got a full book back there. I think it's pretty close to, are you looking it up? How many? Shout it out. This is important, folks. You got to get this. It revolutionized my life, not this year, but 40 years ago. We're talking several hundred times. Come on, Annie. She's my computer back there. See, what is important? Once you make a decision, you don't come off of it. Once you're qualified, this is what I know, and I'm not coming off of it. I know Jesus died for my sins. I'm not coming off that, regardless what happens. 412 times, and it came to pass. If I don't know anything else in the Bible, I know one thing. He keeps his word. Keeps his word. I'm so convinced of it, all the devils in hell couldn't talk me out of it. I didn't know that. If you watch up on our thing up here, and it came to pass, it shall come to pass. I get stirred every time I see that. Because I know there's an end to what's going through. It's not going to last forever. Whatever situation you're in, it's only temporary. It's only you get over the battle, you win the battle. We're more than conquerors. Well, I guess I've said enough for today. There's so much in the Bible I wish I could just put it where it helps people. I was reading some this last week on what were called unworthy communion. I hadn't read that for a long time, and I thought, boy, how many people are just disgracing themselves and shaming themselves by taking communion unworthily? You got to be clean, folks. You got to be sanctified. You got to be set apart. Communion is taking the blood of Jesus. He changed. He changed so much. When he took that communion, he said, now, as often as you do this, we keep ours right on the table, on the coffee table. We take it regularly at home. I mean, it's like, okay. Yeah, but we only put like the first day. Who said that? Where'd that come from? First Sunday of the month. As often as you do it unto me. Bow your heads with me today. Father God, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We believe that the word of God is true. Every word, every idle, every period, every question mark, every part of it, grammarly, we claim the word of God as our sword and our shield. We will not compromise it in no way. We'll not give in. We'll not surrender. We hold fast the very truths of God, that our Savior died and shed his blood that we might have life and have it more abundantly.